This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
We have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, this is a little bit of an older clip. It's a few days old, but it stems from the Friday night game between San Antonio and Minnesota, where the Spurs ultimately ended up winning the series 4-2, winning that game 139-109. Pretty bad, man. I mean, Minnesota looked good for two games and like crap pretty much for the rest of them. So we get to, Michael, the eight-minute mark. It is a blowout at this point. 128-95 is the score after Stephon Castle makes a driving layup. The Timberwolves call a timeout, which essentially ends their season. They start throwing in subs. And Anthony Edwards, the star of the Timberwolves, with 8 minutes left, leaves his bench, goes down to San Antonio's bench, and begins shaking hands with everybody on the Spurs, kind of like you would do at the end of the game. But Ant-Man decided to rise above all that and do his own little end-of-game handshake run, but did it with 8 minutes left. The fellas from the NBA coverage on Amazon Prime Video, Dirk Nowitzki, Blake Griffin, you have Taylor Rooks. Dirk and Blake Griffin had some interesting things to say about it. Here's the clip of the day. Let's listen to Dirk and Blake.
All right, so we're going to unpack some of the things that Ant said there, but here is the moment where he said he was just giving them the respect they deserve. 8 minutes were left in the game. Your reactions to this moment?
I've watched the NBA and been a part of it for a long, long time. I've never seen this. A guy walking into the huddle with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and dapping up the entire team. Too much for me. Obviously, you can do that after the game and show plenty of respect. That was a little strange for me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I've never seen that before. I mean, I do like what he said, that he wants to give him respect, but I think you wait and you know, you have to take your licks at the end of the game like everybody else. I do want to say, I mean, he was definitely hobbled. Minnesota mm-hmm. definitely hobbled with DiVincenzo out. Io didn't look like he was full strength either. And they played hard. It was a valiant effort, but he was right. San Antonio was just a better team.
Yeah. Now, Udy, you had a reaction there to what he said at the end about needing to build a team that has championship habits, yeah, playoff habits. I didn't get to hear the question he was asked, but what were you thinking when you heard that?
Well, you would think that they would have that by now. You would think that they would have that. They've been to the Western Conference Finals. You would think over the years that they've built that. I understand. I think this is Julius Randle's second year, but you would think that a team that has been there, they would have those habits. So the fact that they don't have those habits are very disappointing to me. Because once you get here, and I say this all the time, the playoffs has a way of revealing what's inside you. And I didn't like what I saw from some of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. Ant was definitely hobbled. DiVincenzo was out. But some of the things I didn't like. And what I will say is, as great as Ant is as a basketball player, there's still some growth for him as well. Because as a leader, I would not have walked down there and shook their hand. I would not have walked down there and shook their hand with 8 minutes left in the game. As a leader of my troops and my guys, I would not show that weakness. The game is not over. I got 8 minutes left. I still got smoke coming out of my ears because I'm so damn mad we're losing. Let me calm down for those 8 minutes since I'm not in. And then after those 8 minutes, I'll go down there and I'll congratulate them and their coaching staff. But in the middle of the game, when I got guys that have sat the bench and cheered me on, no, I'm going to sit there and cheer those guys on. I'm going to put that energy back into those guys. And then when the game's over, I'll go over there and shake their hands. So that's just the way I handle things. I'm a little bit different. I'm a little bit old school. I understand there's a different generation, but I don't think if they were beating San Antonio, Wemby would have went down there and shook his hand with 8 minutes left. I don't think so. I damn sure know Wimby wouldn't have went down there and shook his hand.
I don't even know if that's old school.
So for me, I love Ant-Man as a basketball player. I love where he's going to be as a basketball player, but as a leader, the next few steps he needs to make are little small details and things like that, because other people on your team and those guys are always watching you and they're following you whether you know it or not.
Like, what's the point of walking down to San Antonio's bench with 8 minutes to go? Game's over. I mean, it's 128-95 with 8 minutes. You're not coming back from that. Maybe, you know, regular season against a crap team. I mean, that would be like one of the historic comebacks, but you're not coming back from that. So Chris Finch calls off his dogs and says, all right, we're done. You know, series over. But Ant-Man goes down and starts shaking hands of like, you can't do that 8 minutes later. Like, I get it. The reserves aren't going to come in there and pull off a comeback. But at the same time, you know, I'm still thinking we got to sit down and support our guys that are in. And I'm not going to go down and just say it's over. It's a sportsmanship thing. And I get he was actually practicing good sportsmanship by going down and shaking hands. But with 8 minutes left in the game, it's just a bad look. I'm abandoning my team bench. I'm not going to listen to this message, whatever. I'm going to go down and I'm going to shake hands. I'm going to get all in their bench and congratulate them on the series win. It was odd to me. And I don't think it's old school to say I'm not going to go shake hands at 8 minutes. I like what Taylor said. Like, that's just school. Yeah. He said, Chris, sounds like Ant-Man's putting in a resume. It's odd with Minnesota because much has been talked about. I've made this comparison before. Tim Conley reminds me of Mike Shanahan. You remember toward the end of the years for Mike Shanahan as Broncos head coach, he did everything in his power to make sure he's beating the Raiders. But they were finishing around that 9-win mark, 8-win mark. And I think he developed a little bit of maybe a small reputation of you're putting in so much work to beat the Raiders, but you're not really putting in the work. And not that he wasn't putting in the work, but the emphasis wasn't there to win like 4 or 5 more games and get into the playoffs, which is ultimately why Mike Shanahan was relieved of his duties and was forced to move on. I look at Tim Conley and the Timberwolves as they orchestrated that team to beat the Nuggets. Because when the Nuggets started to get on their rise, it was the Timberwolves they needed to get through. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets have a lot of history. Minnesota actually knocked Denver out the last year the Nuggets didn't make the playoffs in the Joker era. Michael Malone was the head coach. They needed one win to get into the playoffs. Minnesota needed one win to get into the playoffs. They just so happened to play each other, and it was Minnesota who knocked them out. Then on the after that, Denver started to get their number while Tim Conley was still there, and then Tim Conley leaves, and it kind of was the reverse effect. Minnesota then started running the table. Minnesota's having questions like, okay, you beat Denver, you've got their number. How do you take that next step and not just get to the Western Conference Finals? Are they close anymore? I mean, they won 2 games. I do think it's a strange flex. I've seen some Denver media people throw out the flex of, oh, Minnesota, you're so happy you beat Denver. You only won 2 more games in the second round. That's not the flex you think it is. Minnesota beat you. I don't care if Minnesota got swept by San Antonio. You cannot celebrate Minnesota losing in the round that you should have been in. You can't celebrate that. You can celebrate the Avs knocking off Minnesota Wild in 5, but the flex of, oh, wow, good for you, Minnesota, you only won 2 more games. No, you won a lot more than that. You won 4 against the Nuggets to eliminate them. You have no bragging power, no bragging rights at all over the T-Wolves.
Yeah, you can celebrate it. You can go, yay, we were rooting against Minnesota. But if you try to say, ha-ha, Minnesota, they can say, okay, well, we beat you. And we, in some games, flat-out embarrassed you. So why are you talking?
Yeah, you have no room to talk. Nuggets fans have no room to talk trash right now. I mean, you want to celebrate the Lakers losing the way they did? Sure, but the Lakers still got past the first round. So I don't love it. I think it's a bad look. But for the Nuggets now, you have to ask, because you got Timberwolves fans over the weekend, and now I'm sure their talk radio scene is, well, our Wild can't get past the Avs, and the Timberwolves can't get past the Western Conference Finals. Is it time to break that thing up a little bit? It's funny because Rudy Gay, I think, was getting so much praise throughout the series against the Nuggets and the first portion of the series against the Spurs. And then that kind of faded. I know they're talking a lot about, you know, what they need to do in terms of you know, their big guys, like Julius Randle could be on the way out. If the Timberwolves are far off, then the Nuggets are very far off. And this Joker coming in, you know, sixth straight year, finishing as either the MVP or the runner-up, only puts up a glaring light back on this roster, back on Josh Kroenke, back on the decisions to move on from Michael Malone and Calvin Booth. And I'm not saying that they'd be further along if they would have kept those guys. But when you make a big move like that, three games before the season ends, you're telling me you have a backup plan in place that you've been waiting to pull out for a while. Now just seems like the right time to do it. And you're actually worse. You know, last year you did get past the first round. You did go 7 against the Thunder. I think the Thunder are more dangerous now than ever before. So if the Timberwolves are far off, then I think Denver's a mile away. I mean, they're not close right now. They're a playoff team because they have Nikola Jokic. They're maybe a first-round team, like they can win the first round. But that's as far as I'm willing to say this team goes as presently constructed. Now, I've heard people say, oh, the Nuggets do have a plan. I did not hear that plan. What I heard was, we could either run it back or we could trade Jamal and Aaron Gordon. Those are your options. Like, those are your options. You're not trading Christian Brown. If they trade Christian Brown, then you go to the law offices of Tenzer and Wallace and you just worship those men. Because I thought it was crazy that they were able to trade Michael Porter Jr.'s contract. They're not trading that contract. No team, unless they get some kind of sneaky haul, is going to take Christian Brown. So that's not an option. You know, Zeke Nagy is not an option, trading him. No one's going to take his salary and his lack of actual production into account. The only guys that I think are really tradable, now Cameron Johnson might be. That might be a sneaky one. You could move a contract. Because I thought he was okay to start the season, new team. Then he got hurt. Then when he came back, I think the mental game was starting to mess with him. And then I think actually he put together a nice first round. So I think that first round might make him appealing. And it's only a one-year deal. It's $23 million for the 26-27 season. Jonas Valanciunas, you ain't trading him. He's either going to ride off into the sunset and go play in Greece, or he's going to give you one more year. Christian Brown has a long-term deal, Michael. No one's taking that contract on. And that hasn't even kicked in yet. It doesn't kick in until next season. As far as re-signing Peyton Watson, there's still a chance you could do that, but you will risk going into the second apron, and that also means that you think that you're a contender with Watson. So you're going to be willing to put yourselves in the most difficult position to be in, one of the most difficult positions to be in the NBA, and that's getting inside of that second apron. You're not trading Julian Strother. I mean, you have a team option on Strother. So you could not pick that up. Daron Holmes, who we really haven't seen after he got hurt in Summer League 2 years ago, you have a team option there. There's $7 million that you could clear up. And you have a team option on Jalen Pickett. So now we're at $9 million. Still doesn't get you where you want to go. Peyton Watson is anywhere from $20 to $30 million. And yes, I said 30. There are reports that he could command a $30 million salary. Even if you were able to trade Zeke Nagy, you still, that's what, now you're approaching $17 million. You're still not there. And you're And he's still got other guys worth talking about re-signing. That's Bruce Brown. That's Tim Hardaway Jr. You won't get them for the same deal if you enter that second apron. So I, aside from trading Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon, you don't have a move, a real move that's going to yield any kind of different result. So I would imagine, based on Kroenke's thoughts and words that he said about AG and the injury and what kind of guy he is, they don't want to trade him. I don't know that they will. So that would lead us to Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray is due $50 million next year and $53 the following year and then $57. That's the only move. Are you ready to take that move? Are you ready to make that move? Jamal has been with you through it all. He was a monster part, second, third, biggest part as far as winning that championship. The two-man game they have. But in order to change the direction of this team, they would have to trade him. And then you sign Peyton Watson. Then you go get a lesser point guard, probably. Is that the move? Or you trade Jamal Murray. And yeah, we're talking, I'm getting the text too. You know, we're talking about guys that would be available. Well, obviously what we continue to hear in Boston is that Jaylen Brown might not be thrilled. He's having a fight now with Stephen A. Smith. They're exchanging podcast attacks or whatever. And Stephen A is going off and saying, hey, you don't want to go here. You don't want me to talk about what I know as far as what the organization thinks of you and what Boston thinks of you. So as that tends to air out a little bit, you wonder what the future is going to look like with Jaylen Brown. Is there a world where you can pull off some kind of a trade for Jamal Murray to get Jaylen Brown and or Derek White at point guard? That would be fascinating. Are you ready to move on from Jamal? You know he's going to be like a 20-point, 23-point guy. I think he will have a better playoff run if guys are healthier, if Aaron Gordon was healthy. But that is a big if that you're riding on there. I mean, and it's not like, and if you make a trade like that, you've got Derek White, who's at $30 million, and Jaylen Brown's at $57 million. So if you make a trade like that, you're not bringing Peyton Watson back. So how much does Denver really feel that Peyton Watson is one of the pieces of this future? Or was that a flash in the pan? They just made that mistake with Christian Brown. Calvin Booth made a smaller mistake with Zeke Nagy. They did make a mistake with Michael Porter Jr., very good player, not living up to that contract. So if you're Denver, do you triple down, quadruple down, and say, yeah, we're going to go hand out a massive contract and trade away one of our big pieces in Jamal Murray, but there's a big unknown there. Is Peyton Watson really that guy? And can Aaron Gordon stay healthy? If those answers are yes, and you can predict the future, congratulations, then you trade Jamal Murray in a heartbeat if Boston's willing to dance, and you do bring in a Jaylen Brown, because those contracts wash. Then you obviously decide if Boston's willing to move on from Derek White, which I don't know that they would be. If I'm Boston, do I say, okay, send us Christian Brown too? I don't see that happening. Derek White's a pretty consistent player. Pretty good player. He's getting up there, but pretty good player. So Denver right now, and this is for the first time, I really feel like they are in no man's land. I thought the move to trade Michael Porter Jr. last year revived the franchise because it allowed you to go bolster the bench. It allowed you to re-sign Christian Brown. You got Cameron Johnson, which at the time I didn't think he was that much of a downgrade from MPJ. In fact, defensively, I didn't think he was a downgrade at all. But you were able to get Tim Hardaway Jr., who was definitely in the running for Sixth Man of the Year, so that was a good move. Kind of disappeared in the playoffs. Shoots a little too much. Bruce Brown, I will say he was fine this year. He did not recapture the magic that he did in that year they won the championship. So, and then I thought Jonas Valanciunas was fine. He's another one. I don't think that Adelman used him appropriately. So that last year I was in no man's land until they made the move, until they traded Michael Porter Jr. And I thought, here we go. But now, again, I'm desperately waiting for Tenzer and Wallace to pull off another magical deal that actually works out. Now I hear it. I hear you, Josh Kroenke, when you're saying, like, we never really got a chance to see what this team could do because they were really never together. That is real. That is a real thing. But Aaron Gordon is 30 years old. He'll be 31 by the time the season starts. And he is dealing with a lot of significant reoccurring type injuries. And at 31, do you believe that's going to go away? And I am the biggest AG guy. I am the guy that says the biggest trade in Nuggets history, draft day excluded. But I don't know that we want to sit here and hope that AG is healthy. That's tough. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. Because I know what kind of player he is when he's healthy, but he was not that player this year. So who would you trade if you could trade between the two of those guys? Aaron Gordon or Jamal Murray? Jamal's 29. I think he'll either be close to or 30 by the time the season starts. Eastside Chris texting in, whoa, Brady, Jaylen Brown and White, go for it. If you could do that. I've seen a lot of scenarios thrown out that might be a possibility. And the longer this offseason goes in Boston, it does seem like the Jaylen Brown Boston Celtics future is cracking. You know, their foundation is cracking. So Boston might be ready to move on from that contract and move on from him and just full on give Jason Tatum the reins and say, you're the guy. I'm open to that. And with Derek White, you would downgrade from point guard, but you would upgrade at the two. Now, Brown can probably even run point guard if he needed to. I don't know if you want to get into that. But then what does that say to the rest of the roster, though? You know, Christian Brown going to come off the bench with that contract? Or he plays number two and you don't go with Derek White? There's a lot of ideas being thrown out there. But any of these massive trades, to me, if you absorb a large amount of dollars, then you're also saying, yeah, we're good not going with Peyton Watson. I think the Peyton Watson thing is fascinating, too. He's athletic. He's one of their more athletic guys, maybe, aside from a healthy Aaron Gordon. He's probably the best athlete on your team. And that's what we said they were missing in the Minnesota series. Well, do you really want to focus on beating Minnesota? If Minnesota is going to start making changes now, and they maybe have to take a step back to take two steps forward, is building your team up to compete against Minnesota the right move? I actually would have loved to see a healthy Denver and OKC. I don't know that they win that series. Probably not. I just think they matched up a little bit better. Minnesota's a bad matchup for Denver. Just a terrible matchup. But I don't know that you want to plan your offseason on beating Minnesota. Because I don't know if Minnesota will be there next year. The teams that are going to be there for sure in the next 5 years are the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So you have to find a way to beat those guys. That's what your focus needs to be. I like the depth pieces. We just didn't get a chance to see the whole thing work. But I also don't know that that's a strategy that I'm ready to go for of let's just hope everyone's healthy. Let's hope everyone's healthy and do our best to get Peyton Watson. Is that the plan? Because you better be damn sure that Watson can be the guy you're getting ready to pay. And you just missed with Christian Brown, and I think you missed with MPJ's numbers. I don't think many people were fighting a contract extension. It's just his numbers, what he was being paid, was he wasn't living up to that contract. That's always been the thing on MPJ. No, but nobody was like, oh, no, Michael Porter Jr. wasn't good for Denver. No, he was another big piece to what they did. I don't think he's the reason they lost. He's going out on podcasts and saying, you know, if they would have had me, we would have won. No, you were there when you lost to Minnesota in 7. I mean, MPJ is making $38 million. He made $38 million this year, and he's going to make $40 million next year. He'll be a free agent, 27, 28. You know, thoughts. 30 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's take a quick break right here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What is the Dirty 30?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am.
I know HVAC guy is not wanting to hear this, but there is more with Coach Prime. We were going to bring it up earlier, but we ran out of time. Michael, I don't know if you saw this, but Shiloh Sanders was in the news. And Deion Sanders, of course, part of this barbershop conversation, kind of talked about all of the things going on. Shiloh Sanders had a sandwich comment to NFL reporter Mary Kay Cabot on Friday. And basically, he was on, and he was frustrated with her. He said he had an issue with Cabot giving her opinion over reporting facts. I think she had reported something like Deshaun Watson should be the starting quarterback for the Browns, not Shedeur Sanders. And Shiloh went on. He said, "If you're going to be a reporter, then report facts. Whenever you have your opinion, and your opinion is always something hateful to Shedeur, then it seems like there's something weird, like there's an agenda you have going on." He was on a live stream, but he also said after this, Cabot predicted that Deshaun Watson would enter training camp as the number one quarterback on the Cleveland Browns depth chart over Shedeur Sanders. Shiloh responded to that and said, "Go make me a sandwich, Mary." Not good. Not good. He had an issue with Cabot giving her opinion over the facts. Coach Prime responded to that, and he said this: "We don't talk about nobody. We don't do nothing to nobody. I know Shiloh had a little altercation that he spoke up for his brother. You've got to understand, man, that's his brother. And God bless Mary Kay's soul, that's his brother. I mean, she said something, he said something. Like, media is different today. I know a lot of people don't respect the old school. I do, because I grew up in that era that we didn't have a say-so. But Shiloh spoke up for his brother, and he was ridiculed for that. He was ridiculed for saying to a female reporter, 'Go make me a sandwich.' That's what he was ridiculed for. Not necessarily his take on her reporting or Shedeur or whatever."
Yeah, once he got to the sandwich part, I didn't have a problem with him disagreeing with her. But yeah, getting to the sandwich part, my personal opinion is it should be Deshaun Watson at the one, but open competition. Like, open competition.
Well, you're paying. We're
not impressed with anybody that we have. Brand new coaching staff. We're starting over.
Yeah. I mean, you're paying Deshaun Watson to get that done. I mean, you're paying him a lot of money to be the starting quarterback. But, yeah, it's just another thing. And, listen, I know HVAC guy chiming in here. Seriously, I'm going to get a little grouchy about this. Who the blank cares what Sanders has to say? Well, a lot do. I mean, a lot do. When he says something, it's big news. He said, "My local teams are the Fairview Knights and the CU Buffs. I've texted you about this before. Nobody here likes him. He's a loudmouth." Maybe in Boulder it's starting to wear out. Maybe you're getting frustrated with that in Boulder, but he still has his national people all over, his national fans all over the country that believe he can do no wrong. Coach Prime, that is. And stitched with that is Shedeur Sanders and Shiloh Sanders. So just another weird chapter. Another weird chapter in the Coach Prime saga and the Sanders saga. Shiloh didn't apologize. He actually doubled down. So here's the full thing. He said, well, let me just say about that I really do believe that I have been an inspiration for lots of women and young girls to know that you can go out there and do a good job in a man's world and take on all of that that comes with it. And I know that there are so many women who have joined the football world, especially because of some of the things that I've been able to do over the years. And I'm happy about that. Yeah, I don't know. That's just a strange thing. He said, if you're going to be a reporter and report the facts. Whenever you have your opinion and your opinion is always something hateful to Shedeur, then it makes it seem like something's weird, like it's an agenda that you have going on. So it doesn't even make sense. You want to go talk about this and that in minicamp. They don't even have all their receivers. How are you going to say, oh, this is what I think's going to happen? I mean, isn't that what? That's what. Okay. We don't care what you think is going to happen. Let Shedeur go practice. He doesn't need to be going on Instagram and Twitter and stuff as always seeing you just badmouth him. Yeah. I don't know, Mike.
If he has a problem with people badmouthing him, then prove them wrong. Use that.
I just don't.
The bulletin board material. Use that. Get better at your job.
Do you need Shiloh and your dad talking to the coaches? And now Shiloh's ripping the reporters. It doesn't look good, guys. It's not helping him. I know they help him personally all the time. They're close, I'm sure. But this is not a good look. It's not a good look when Shiloh comes out and rips a female reporter and basically says, go make me a sandwich. And then Deion Sanders comes out and says, hey, I'm going to have I can't wait to have that chat with Todd Monken about Shedeur Sanders. I mean, I don't know. HVAC, I should rest my case. I don't know. I don't know what that means, but I'm saying that when Coach Prime talks, it's all over the news. This is from Pro Football Talk. We saw several. There's Fox News. There was CNN. All of these different outlets that are covering sports and news, whatever, are talking about this kind of stuff. This chat Coach Prime had with the Barbershop podcast has freaked out because of several things that he's been saying. But I guess he can't help himself, and I just don't think it's doing Shedeur Sanders any favors. You know, last week is same conversation, but just, you know, Shedeur went through hell last year getting opportunities to play. He did. He actually got opportunities as a rookie to play, and he was all right. Made it to the Pro Bowl. He made it to the Pro Bowl, Mike. He went through hell.
You can't take that away from him.
You can't take it away from him.
I mean, he took it away from a bunch of other people because they said no. But he's officially a Pro Bowler. Look, I will be rooting for Shedeur if it shuts both his dad and his brother up.
It won't, because if he does well, then that's going to be another thing.
Yeah, that's why I said if, but yeah. You know, the if is a small if. It's not going to happen.
If he's successful, they're talking. If he's not successful, they're talking. So either way you slice it, you're going to hear from them on that point. 42, I'll tell you this, for Coach Prime, he better win this year. He better win some football games this year, because I do think the act is starting to wear out a little bit. I really do. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
All right, we covered a lot of ground today, Mike. A lot of stuff. Are the Rockies going to play tonight? No news yet if that game's going to be postponed. I'm guessing
I hope
it will.
They play.
I'm guessing it's going to be postponed, Mike. I think we're supposed to get, at least in this area, we're supposed to get more rain throughout the day.
I hate it when baseball is postponed. I don't like that.
Yeah, well, I don't think a lot of people think it's ideal.
You know what? I want them to build an indoor stadium now.
That probably won't happen. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The Rocks are 18-29, Michael. made an interesting little comeback. Lorenzen was really bad, but they were down 8-2, made it 8-6, and the beard continues to grow. Need 12 more. 12 more. Still ahead of the game. I think we're ahead. I would feel really good about our situation and not getting too out of control if the Rockies get to win number 20 by the time May runs out. They can win two games in 2 weeks. Mike, come on.
Yeah, you don't want to be to the point in July where people are giving you money because they feel bad for you.
I don't think we're getting
so long. We're not so just disheveled.
We're not getting to July. I promise. We're not getting to July. We're gonna have 30 wins before we get to July 1st.
I hope so.
Yeah, I believe we'll get there. 49 minutes after the hour. What do we learn coming up next? It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
It's almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
All right, what do we learn today, Michael? You know, we learned from Albright today that he doesn't believe there's any conspiracy put together for Sean Payton, against Sean Payton, as far as scheduling those first six games the way that they did. I agree 100%. Mark Johnson, the split might be coming, that we soon will have the SEC Big Ten split off and do their own thing. I did see this, and I want to get to more of this tomorrow. Thanks. Shout out to Go Pokes. Per court listings, the Pac-12 and the Mount West have reached a settlement in principle. So far, no details or documents have been shown, and nothing is finalized yet. Hearing scheduled for June 9th. So we'll get into that. What does that mean? They're trying to play nice? They're trying to play nice because they know what's coming? They're better together? I don't know. Some people believe that. We'll get to that. Michael, what'd you learn today, buddy?
I learned that, once again, the Sanders family just does not know how to be quiet. They just don't know.
They gotta do it.
They are tactless human beings.
It sure seems like it. And with that, we'll bid you adieu and be back tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.